As we are continuing our series in the book of Hebrews, and we're doing this verse-by-verse study through Hebrews, but we've taken a pause in Hebrews 11, and we've been doing a series within the series on faith, and faith that overcomes. And this morning, we're going to talk about enduring faith through the life of Moses. We're going to look at some of the characteristics of faith that he had, and boy, he was a well-known guy in the Old Testament. So to make his point, the author of the Hebrews now leaves Genesis, where we saw Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, and we're going to look at the account of Moses that begins in the book of Exodus and goes actually through Deuteronomy chapter 34. So this includes Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses, of course, was the author of all of those. Even the law is known as the Mosaic Law after Moses. And so for the author who's writing to these Jewish believers who are struggling about whether they should be about grace and faith, or should they revert back to the law, the author is saying, and the Hebrews are thinking in their minds, if anybody was a man who lived according to the law and must have been saved according to the law, it would be Moses. And what the author does of Hebrews is he says, no, Moses lived by faith. It was by faith that Moses is saved. And this was stunning to the Jews. The Judaism that these Christians had come out of was a works-based system. And, you have to observe all the rituals. You have to obey the law. You have to do everything else that the rabbis have told you to do that they've added to the law. And if you make a good effort at that, then you'll be accepted by God. Well, when the gospel came along and said it's all a matter of grace and faith, the Jews wondered if this was something new and bad. Well, Moses waited on God, and Moses believed God. And that's what the author is pointing to. So at the top of your outline, it says this, that when Moses was born, his people were slaves in Egypt. Egyptian officials had ordered all Hebrew baby boys to be killed. But because of his parents' faith, Moses was miraculously spared. And Pharaoh's daughter raised Moses as her own. It's easy to focus on temporary benefits like wealth and popularity, but by faith, Moses kept his eyes on the long-term benefits of God's kingdom. Faith helps us look beyond the world's values to what is eternal. So follow along in your Bibles as we read Hebrews 11, verses 23 through 29. And you might want to underline every time you see by faith. By faith, here it is. Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. This is God's word. So on your outline, you have it. Moses, the life of Moses, was a life of faith. You underlined it, if you were doing that, five times in those verses. Verse 27 says, Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. And again, if you want to underline something, that's a great little phrase to underline, and we're going to be talking about that. The book of Hebrews, we could say, is really about one particular word, and that's the word endurance. Endurance. Hebrews is written to this group of Christians who were talking about giving up because they had been persecuted. They had been through suffering because of their faith. In fact, you're right there. Look back at verse 32 of chapter 10. It says in the New Living Translation, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, here it is, even though it meant terrible suffering. And then he goes on and gives us chapter 11. How do we get through that terrible suffering? By faith. It's all about faith that leads to endurance. And then look at chapter 12, verse 1. You're right there. And we could say that's the high point of the entire book of Hebrews that says essentially, look to Jesus Christ who endured the cross. He endured opposition. Therefore, you should endure opposition. You can do this. And the word endure is used a number of times, about a half a dozen times through the book of Hebrews. And the Greek word for endure is hypomeno. And meno means to stand or to stay. I'm standing, I'm menoing in the Greek. And the word hypo is the prefix from which we get the English prefix hyper. And so, this is on your outline, the endurance literally means to hyperstay or hyperstand. In other words, you put your feet down and nothing can knock you off your feet. You know, I think, I'm guessing because you live here in San Diego that you've all been to the ocean. And you know that if a big wave comes, you can get knocked off your feet. Well, what this is saying is that if you hyperstand, you, no matter what comes your way, no matter how big the wave, you can stay your ground. You can stay put. That's what hyperstand means. And so in our fast-paced culture, it's possible. Is it possible to have the faith that keeps on enduring? And the answer is absolutely yes. That's the answer the author gives us. That's what Hebrews is about. And his purpose is to show us how you can never get knocked off your feet spiritually, no matter what you go through in your life. And what was it that Moses did that gives us, are there any clues that give us a secret to endurance? And I think there are. And this is what Moses did to make sure that he stayed put, stayed his ground spiritually, and didn't get knocked off of his feet. So what was the key to Moses' life of faith? Well, the first thing we learn about faith from Moses is that we need to make decisions to say no to some things. Moses, for example, and this is on your outline in verse 24, he refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He said no to authority. He said no to authority. He could have had all the authority in the world. He was in line to be the next Pharaoh. He refused, verse 25, the pleasures of sin. And you can circle that word pleasures on your outline. And then in verse 26, he refused the treasures of Egypt. So he refused riches. He said no to wealth. He said no to the riches. So what does this mean to us today? Well, I'm sure that many of you have given up things for your faith. That happens when you're a believer. You make decisions based on your faith. And no matter what you've given up, think about this. Moses gave up all of Egypt. That's what he could have had. All the riches, all the authority. Pharaoh had only one daughter, and she had only one son, Moses. And so he could have enjoyed everything as Pharaoh. Everything Egypt had to offer. And you know, it wasn't like he was 95 years old and giving this stuff up, knowing that he wouldn't have much longer to live. He was in the prime of his life. He was probably around 40 years old. And he turned his back on these things because he believed God. He knew it was God's will. And faith is sometimes refusing things that could thrill our hearts. Are you willing to leave what maybe has thrilled your heart? If that's what God wants you to do? You know, when Jesus called Peter and Andrew and James and John to full-time discipleship, he says in Matthew 4, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And I love what Kent Hughes says about this verse. He says this, faith is what Matthew is getting at in Matthew 4:19. Matthew is saying to his readers, I'll show you what Jesus' first four followers did, and then you tell me if you would do likewise. So here in the mirror are Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And then Kent Hughes asks, does your faith in any way reflect theirs? He goes on. Kent does. Who or what is first in your life? And think of what this means for you. But for these disciples, it was the fish, the nets, the boat, the career, the income, the brother, the father, the family. Are you willing to break from any or all of your former loyalties? Kent asks. Occupation, friends, religion, in order to wholeheartedly serve one master. Moreover, are you willing to do what this master says, to go where he wants you to go, to be obedient to his word? And then Kent ends with these words in his commentary on Matthew. When Christ calls you to repent and follow him, you better expect to be disrupted from your ordinary life. You better expect a sword to sever some relationships that are bad for you. You better expect a sword to pierce your bank account and cut off all those sins that so easily entangle you. You better expect some changes. Are you willing to leave if that's what God wants you to do? Or what is it that he wants you to leave behind in your life? And you say, well, can't I just give my life and then come to church? And then I think what you're talking about, Kenny, sounds too radical. It's just the words of Jesus. Jesus is the one who said, this isn't me saying this, this is Jesus. If any one of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. In other words, we have to remember that Jesus is in the driver's seat. We might keep wanting to grab the wheel, but he's like, no, just this, it's okay. I'm in charge here. Jesus is in the driver's seat, and so we don't run from suffering. We don't run from the hard things he wants us to do or that he takes us through. We embrace them, and we embrace him as we go through them. It's all or nothing. That's what he asks of us. And we can't say, look, I'll give you Sunday, but the other 6 days, I want to pursue what I want to pursue in the way that I want to pursue it. No, that's not an option that he gives us. Discipleship is a call to deny myself and take up the cross. And what is the cross? It is an instrument of death. It is an instrument of suffering. And follow Jesus. C.H. Spurgeon said there are no, it should be the word no, crown bearers in heaven who were not cross bearers here below. You know, the brand of Christianity that's taught today is not found in the Bible, that's often taught today. And that is, all you need to do is pray a sinner's prayer, and doesn't matter how you live, God will forgive you, and you're going to heaven. Just as long as you prayed that prayer. Well, we have to be clear, salvation is not earned by anything we might sacrifice. It's not earned by our actions. It is received as we repent and believe in Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. So true salvation is a result of faith. That's real Christianity. D.A. Carson, in his book that's called Basics for Believers, which is a commentary on the book of Philippians, explains how people want a cheaper gospel. And here's the monologue that he writes in his commentary. He says this, I would like to buy about $3 worth of gospel, please. people come to church and they say, hey, give me a little gospel, give me a little Jesus, a little Christianity, but not too much. Just enough to make me happy, just enough so I can go to heaven. I don't want so much gospel, I don't want too much Jesus that I learn to really hate covetousness and lust. I kind of like those things a little bit. I want Jesus, but let me hang on to my sins. I certainly don't want so much that I start to love my enemies, heaven forbid, or cherish self-denial, or contemplate missionary service to some unreached culture. I want ecstasy, not repentance. I want transcendence, not transformation. I would like to be cherished by some nice, forgiving, broad-minded people, but I myself don't want to love people who are different from me. I would like enough gospel to make my family secure and my children well-behaved, but not so much that I have my ambitions redirected or my giving too greatly enlarged. I would like to buy about $3 worth of gospel, please. What's your gospel like? People want cheap Christianity, but the price won't come down. To be a follower of Jesus means, and this is on your outline, all or nothing. That's what Jesus said. That's the way Moses lived his life. Moses said no to authority. He said no to pleasures. He said no to riches. What do you need to say no to? You know, you're throwing away so much, Moses, someone says. And Moses says, yes, but I believe God. I have faith in him. I say yes to God, and I say no to the world. What do we need to say no to? What do you need to say no to right now? If you're making decisions about how you raise your children or the activities you do with your grandchildren or the activities of your children, how will faith shape that decision? If you're making career decisions or decisions about how you spend your retirement, how will your faith impact those decisions? If you're making decisions about what you're going to do tomorrow, the rest of this day, how does faith shape the way you spend your time? That's what Moses said no to. And then the next thing, number two on the outline, is what faith says yes to. Choosing rather, it says in verse 25, to be mistreated with the people of God. Circle the word mistreated. To bear reproach. And again, on your outline, circle that word reproach. Verse 27, not fearing the king's anger. And circle those words, king's anger. It would have been a huge sacrifice. Think about this. For Moses to just say, you know, I just want to be an ordinary Egyptian. That would have been a sacrifice. But he went from one extreme to the other. Think about this. He went from being next in line to be Pharaoh to being a slave. He went from someone who could have had all the pleasures of Egypt to someone who would suffer. And he went from someone who would have all the possessions in the world to someone who would be scorned and reproached. He went from the top of the world to a very, very low place. By choice. What an amazing choice. Would we make such a choice? A man of faith like Moses. Why? In verse 27, and if you didn't underline this before, here's another opportunity. He saw him who is invisible. He understood who he was living for and what God wanted him to do. Think of God saying to Moses, I want you to do two things for me. First, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him that you're going to take away his entire free labor force from him. And he might be a little harsh in his response. And then I want you to lead that group of people. Estimates are over 1 million people. out of Egypt, even though they're going to complain and fight you all the way, and even though the greatest army in the world, the Egyptians, are going to chase you. But Moses still chose this path. Why? Because he knew who he was serving. Faith allows us to choose things very differently than when we don't have faith, because we see things that the world doesn't see. We know things that the world doesn't know. You know, I mentioned last week a book, The Christian Mind, by Harry Blumeyers, and I would warmly recommend that book to you. It was written in the 60s, but man, it's just still relevant today. And the first characteristic of a Christian mind, this is on your outline, is a supernatural orientation. We have a supernatural orientation. It causes us, our faith does, to do things that the world doesn't understand. Why would Moses give it all up? Because he had a supernatural orientation. He believed in God, and when we believe in God, we see things differently. We see things other people don't see. We see the invisible. That's our hope. Our hope is in what we don't see. That's what faith is all about. And by faith, you can do the same thing. By faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. And that's what faith in Christ does for you. It's on your outline. It gives you the courage to obey God, even when others might be offended. And Moses did it. In obedience to God, he hyper-stood his ground. And so God says, you know what, to all of us, put your faith to work. Trust God for some big things in your life. What do you want to do for God that only he can do? Sometimes I think we pray about things that are well in our power to do, and it's okay to commit everything to the Lord. But what are you praying for that only God can do? I think we need to honor God with big requests and ask him for miracles. God still does miracles. And then that leads us to number three on the outline, what faith reasons. And so living by faith is not living by feelings. Living by faith is not living by feelings. That's number three. If we live by feelings and how we see things with our eyes, then there's little room for faith. Faith is not about what you feel. It's about what you reason. It's using your mind to think Christianly, to think with faith, to think biblically. Another translation of verse 26 says, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to his reward. So the word considered there, and this is, you've got it on your outline, is he thought it through. That's the idea here. He considered. He thought it through. He calculated. He's thinking Christianly. He's thinking with faith. And he's seeing the invisible. And verse 27, that's a challenge to think about that, I think, but that's so important. That's what happens when you have genuine faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the invisible. Moses made such amazing choices because he'd already reasoned it through in his mind. He knew who he was before God. He knew who God is. He weighed it out and he came to the conclusion, this is worth it, no matter what I go through. You know, just in praying for the country of Comoros, I had to look it up. I didn't know where that was. It's on the east coast of Africa, as we prayed for that country this morning. And just thinking about the believers there, they have to meet in secret. They can't meet publicly. They'll be arrested. And so, man, I was thinking about them and praying through that this morning and thinking, wow, they have to live by faith. They have a hope in heaven. And that's the hope that God wants us to live with. He weighed it all out. Moses says, in essence, I may not feel like doing it, giving up pleasure and ease and then going through suffering with the people of Israel, but it doesn't matter how I feel. I know this is what God wants me to do. You know, do you ever sometimes not feel like a Christian? They don't feel it, but we can know it by God's word. 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you, John says, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not hope for it, not feel it, that you may know it. It's something, that's how we think Christianly about our faith. We can know that we're a believer based on God's word, not based on how I feel. You know, I can imagine Moses had the occasional pangs of saying, you know what, I wish I was back in that palace sometimes. Or I wish these people weren't so difficult. But all he has to do is revert back to thinking with faith and say, this is what God wants me to do. God, I know that you're going to use this in my life for your glory. And so faith is about knowing. It's not about feelings. Feelings just get in the way of what we believe as Christians. If Abraham lived by how he felt, he would have never taken Isaac to sacrifice him before the Lord. If Moses lived by how he felt, he would have never left Egypt. He would have never taken the children of Israel to the promised land. But it was the confidence that he had in God and his word. Moses kept believing. He endured. Again, back to verse 27. He held on strongly. He held on firmly to God's word. What does that imply? We need to know God's word. That's the basis on which we make our decisions. That's the basis of our not living by feelings. And yes, it's true. If you have faith, you can do what Moses did. You know, the point of Hebrews 11 is not that we said this the very first time we started in Hebrews chapter 11. It's, I don't think it's good to call it the Hall of Faith. Because when you walk into a Hall of Fame, what do? You go, wow, these are the best of the best. I could never be like these people. But that's the point of Hebrews 11, is that we can be like these people. We can have faith like them in our lives. You know, I just started reading a fascinating biography about a woman I'd never heard of before, Gladys Allward. Have any of you heard of her? A missionary? There's actually like three biographies that I found on her. And she just would not take no for an answer about being a missionary to China. And she was confident that God wanted her to go. And just her getting there is one miracle after another. It's unbelievable. This 27-year-old British maid. But she went and ended up, China Inland Mission said, you don't have what it takes, and we have so many other people in line to do what you could do. And you've not been successful in learning Chinese. You've not been successful in passing your Bible exams. So we're going to say no. But if you want to serve, there's a missionary couple from China that retired that are looking for someone to help care for them. Would you do that? So she did. And one thing led to another, and she ended up in China. She ended up working for the Chinese, going into rural China, making sure that women's feet weren't bound, which is what they did to try to, and it caused terrible deformities. But she did that, and she ended up becoming a Chinese citizen. Even when the first time she ended up and went to China, they were calling her devil woman because she didn't look like them. And she ended up heading up an orphanage. And it was the middle of a war going on. Japan got involved in this war, and so there was terrible fighting going on. And she was trying to get out of Yangcheng, where she was, and she was not about to leave her orphans behind. So she goes with 100 orphans over the mountains to try to go to free China and get away from this war. And she only had one assistant with her. And after passing, and the kids were ages 4 to 15, 100 of them. Can you imagine? And after passing a sleepless night, she faced in the morning no hope of reaching safety. And a 13-year-old girl in the group, one of the orphans, reminded her and said, "Ms. Zalward, don't you remember the story of Moses and the Israelites going through the Red Sea?" And she had passed a completely sleepless night, and she just cried to this little girl, "But I am not Moses." And the little girl said, "Of course you're not Moses, but God is still God." And that's what I say to you. You are not Moses, but God is still God. The God you believe in is the God of Moses. And then when Gladys and the orphans made it through, they proved once again that no matter how inadequate you feel, God is still God. And you can trust him with whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you're facing today, the rest of this week, before you, the rest of this year, whatever it is, God is still God. And he wants you to have faith in him because he will take you through it. And you think, well, then my life shouldn't have all these troubles. Well, you need to read this biography. It was one trouble after another. But she kept saying, "I believe God is faithful. I know God can see me through this." And maybe you've been choosing on sight based on what you see or based on what's pleasurable. But God says to you this morning, "You trust me." Faith is seeing the invisible. I want you to see the invisible. I want you to have hope in me and trust in me. And yes, it might look like storms, but I want you to step out of the boat, whatever your boat might be, and walk on water. You can't walk on water unless you get out of the boat. I want you, you fished all night. I know you fished all night, but I want you to put your nets in one more time. You keep going and you trust me. That's what Jesus says. And so this is on the outline. Faith is the confidence in God's word, regardless of consequences and regardless of circumstances that result in obedience to him. And so we always revert back to the word of God. Are we obeying the word of God? Are we doing what will please God? And this is only possible if we know the word. And God is calling you to make decisions today, this week, this year, not based on what you want, not based on what you see, but based on what God wants, based on how you see the invisible, based on faith in him, based on his word to you, his word to us. Maybe there are things you need to say no to. Maybe there are things you need to say yes to. What do you need to refuse? What do you need to say yes to God with? That you can't see beyond what's right there, but you know that God's directing you this way. It might not make sense to anyone else. Other people might be offended. They might not understand. But you obey God. It takes courageous faith to say, "I will do your will, God. Not my will, but your will be done." Think of Jesus in the garden and the faith that he had to say, I don't want my will, I want your will. It's what we celebrated at the table this morning. The salvation of all of us who trust in Jesus. The life of Moses was this man of faith, shouts from beginning to end. By faith, the faith of his parents, Moses was preserved and nurtured. By faith, Moses identified with his oppressed people as he turned his back on Egypt. By faith, Moses separated from Egypt for 40 years so that he could prepare to be a deliverer. Think about that. 40 years, the best education in the world, and then he gets forced into the desert and spends 40 years kicking sheep around in the desert. And when he's 80 years old, God says, I've got a job for you. You ready? By faith, Moses obtained salvation of his people by instituting the Passover. By faith, Moses effected the deliverance of Israel through the Red Sea. So what does it mean to us? Well, the intention in writing this church was that they would be encouraged to follow the example of Moses. Like Abel, like Enoch, like Noah, like Abraham, another example of faith, and make it out of their Egypt of persecution and suffering. Not that the persecution and suffering would stop, but they would keep their eyes fixed on Jesus, Hebrews 12:1. And the way they would do this is by focusing on the future, on what God would have for them, and focusing on the unseen. And so this morning, we're encouraged to draw on Moses' example and have that strength in our lives and that courage to live for the glory of Jesus Christ in our lives. Think about it. Let's pray. Just as we have our heads bowed, will you just take to the Lord right now whatever it is you need to say yes to, whatever it is you need to say no to for him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is absolute, radical truth, and we cannot dilute it. Give us the conviction to believe it and to obey it. May each one here daily live by faith. This day, tomorrow, this week, this month, this year, and for the rest of our lives. Even if we have to suffer shame and scorn, banish from our lives the idea that the Christian life is about living our best life here on this earth and that's it. Instead, help us to keep our eyes fixed on the prize, on Jesus. If there's anyone here who does not know Jesus, I pray that they might truly know this morning that he died for them, for their sin, to give them salvation. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.